Hello again. It's Michonne Neal, your resident gentleman goddess, and we're going to do yet another episode of Integrated Non-Monogamy. So, sit tight and, yes, let this earworm fill you. Hello, everyone. It is your gentleman goddess, Michonne Neal, here with episode 2 for Integrated Non-Monogamy. Tonight I'm going to talk about marginalized poly people in particular, as well as introduce myself so you get kind of a background on who it is you're listening to.
Exactly.
This marginalized poly people was actually an article that I wrote quite a few years ago, and I'm just going to update a lot of that, the information in it tonight for you, and I kind of expand upon those ideas and also connect it to a lot of my identities and why this is so important for me to work on. I have been writing polyamorous fiction now for over 20 years, as well as living an inherently polyamorous life. Pretty much was born that way, and I'll It's been an issue of some contention, but I believe it can both be chosen and an inherent identity. And I suppose, for me in particular, that will make a little more sense when you hear about the ways my identities intersect. And while this is just going to be, an introduction, later on I will break down exactly how the different aspects of who I am work together. And now, this isn't because I'm just love talking about myself. It's just that when it comes to these things and these marginalizations and depression, I just happen to have so many aspects that people do not seem to like. And I will go over that whole list sometime else. But I will just give you enough information tonight so that you can get a feel for some of what I have to deal with and what I'm facing. That will all be broken down in its own sections and things and explored later on, just because, being me, of course, people tend to have a lot of fucking questions. And so I guess, decided to sort of live my life as a living testament to these things, and I might as well, because, first of all, I don't want anybody else to have to do it, and because I am so many of these things in one body, and living, this one life, they have some interesting interactions there, some really interesting interactions. Anyway, let me go ahead and get started here. Going back to this whole idea of marginalized poly-A people, it goes to this question, and it's, what does polyamory, or any form of consensual non-monogamy, look like when you're poor or disabled? How do you maintain autonomy and independence when you require specific care or assistance? And how do you have safe, kinky, enjoyable sex when you're allergic to latex or have a condition that leaves your body wracked in pain? Other than being in the minority categories for my aromanticism, relationship anarchy, kinkiness, genderqueerness, pansexuality, noetic sexuality, and being black, there are other specific ways in which my polyamory does not fit into the norm. There are other considerations to make and reinterpretations of many actions and freedoms that many poly-A people take for granted. And yes, you'll notice I do keep saying other there, and I really want to get that term in your mind, because in a lot of ways, and literally, it doesn't matter what kind of list we're drawing up, any categories, I will always have to check other, because there's just always some strange exception or just difference about me, and it's kind of frustrating, And it is, in fact, why my gender is other gender. Because I'm literally anything else than, literally something other than what you expect or what you think or what you perceive or what you hope by. So it's just, it's this whole thing. But I'll get more into that later. Maybe not even here. I might do it in a different podcast, one more geared towards, specifically queerness. I speak and write and live a lot of different issues. And these, really deserve their own full consideration. That said, the average poly A person is well off, white, and normally very healthy. Solo polyamorists constantly talk about autonomy, lack of enmeshment, and independence. And other polyamorists can set up visits with ease. Yet there are huge and gaping holes in the poly-A and relationship conversation in general. Very few people know what life is like for those that fall through the cracks. There aren't many stories of the extremely poor, the multiply marginalized, and the mentally and or physically ill, the neurodivergent, and how we navigate healthy, fulfilling, multiple relationships. I've seen a lot of poly-A and a lot of non-monogamous people even say that they wouldn't date someone with a mental disorder or who has kids or who is not basically fun or easy. There are a few people that I know who are poly-A and have less than perfect health. Quite a few friends of mine are autistic, as well as myself. And we often experience a lot of closed-mindedness and ignorance in the poly-A and kink communities, especially surrounding things like autism. A blogger that I follow has borderline personality disorder, and they write deeply moving posts about their experiences and relationships from his unique perspective. I, of course, write stories about the people you have never heard about, that you never hear about in the media, in situations that rarely get discussed elsewhere, unless it's, for shock value. And I also discuss the ways that these unique people handle their circumstances. Individually, not like some weird catch-all, you're a minority, so that must mean you're all the same, right? Anyway, so being impoverished or disabled, those two usually go hand in hand, actually, it can present its own obstacles for expressing one's polyamorous leanings. There aren't as many resources for people like me. I had to create a lot of my own. I had to create it. I'm still having to create it because it's just not out there. And as the larger polyamorous community creates new resources and expands the social narrative, my hope is that more Black people, more people who are allergic to things people may find unusual, and those who aren't the epitome of health, that we can share and create our own resources to further generate understanding, education, and community as well. Especially since we're the ones who actually most benefit from the non-monogamous lifestyle, non-monogamous orientation, whichever one it is for you, however you define that. But anyway, so nearly every relationship that you have when you're impoverished is basically a long-distance relationship. At least that's my experience. I mean, unless you live in the same neighborhood and can actually, get to each other's houses, if you're homebound, it doesn't matter how close or how far they live, Anyway, so unless you can afford regular travel and outings and dates and whatever like that, they are prohibitively expensive, and there's so much hate or just this weird mythical mythical belief about the online not being as real as meeting in person. But, you know, yeah, technology, it helps. That's if you can afford it or have that, or otherwise have access to it. And the sad thing is, unfortunately, that access to technology is being limited. Like, it was spreading, and more people had it, and it was bringing corners of the world together that could never meet otherwise. And then just all these laws are passing now, and it's just, it's becoming harder and becoming more expensive, and just, it's going to break apart all that we've built and created, and all, you know, it's, I don't know, that's another topic. Anyway, the point is, you learn to be okay with being alone most of the time, or at least pretending to. You definitely learn to appreciate the little things, and you know with absolute certainty that you may not have all of your needs met ever. It takes a special kind of patience to deal with canceled dates, limits on time, and isolation that comes so much more often when you're impoverished. I often liken being impoverished to being in emergency mode more often than not, because every seemingly little thing that goes wrong has huge consequences. Where the executive with a hairy day has the opportunity and money to relax and unwind, the poor person has no access to the typical means with which to relieve their stress. When you don't have the money or the means, you have to get creative. When you're not healthy, you have to accept that there are times when you have to put down your Superman cape and allow someone to help you, even if others label it enmeshment or dependency. Poor health and the higher possibility of an emergency can make the poor and unwell seem like quote-unquote high-risk partners for other poly-A people. Try to imagine the looks you'd get when you say you can't use the condom your partner has brought because you're allergic to latex. You either rush around in an effort to find the much less effective and much harder to find non-latex condoms, call it off, or go through with it without a condom and hope that the STI test results are still accurate, or hope you don't end up pregnant. Not that people with STIs are inherently worth less or anything like that. That's a huge issue too. Like, yes, even if you have an STI, like, there's so much judgment with that. And it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. But safer sex, there's no such thing as safe sex when you're never safe. You know? And if safer sex is just limited to talking about STIs, you never wonder about, okay, is this person a rapist? Is this person abusive? Or anything else like that? No one gets to really know who this person is when it's just about some test result. But of course, discussion for another time. In addition to, you know, the now latex allergy and all of that, I also have endometriosis and polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is a horrible misnomer. Anyway, but the point is, they leave me subfertile and less worried about accidental pregnancy, yet simultaneously leave me in more pain most of the time. It really sucks. So I have to be careful about sex in a much different way. Safer sex for me means, yeah, not agitating or making worse my adhesions or all of the little parts of my organs that are so wrongly connected to each other. Imagine that. There are even times when I want rougher sex, my partners have to be gentle. There's nothing wrong with pain when you actually want it, but the pain caused by these conditions is not the fun kind. My PCOS also causes anxiety, which can lead to more stress, which can lead to a worsening of my condition. These kinds of illnesses, they have no cure. And anyone with a long-term illness knows that we have to find alternative and healthier ways to deal with them and lessen their impact on our lives. But it's kind of the luck of the draw. Unfortunately, the majority of able-bodied people know nothing about it And when they can't physically see what's wrong with you and see your when they can't see your disability, it can breed resentment, disbelief, and dismissal. But even with all that, it's not all doom and gloom. Because you find out fairly quickly who is dependable and who is not. Who is simply there for fun and who'd like to be around for a while. Who can healthily deal with stress and who cracks under the slightest pressure. You find support that you never expected from the strangest places. You learn not to take anything for given or granted. And it makes effective communication of all kinds, verbal and nonverbal, and all of that, all that more important. Some people will see these things as obstacles or reasons not to even bother being non-monogamous. They don't exactly fit the perfect poly-A narrative. But no matter who you are, life is usually only as difficult as you make it. And see, this isn't to say that we exactly have an easy time of it. But what I mean is, if suffering is arguing with reality, then don't argue with reality, you know? Just deal with it. Yeah, it may hurt. Yeah, it may suck. It may not be fair, but it is what it is. You know? And if you're open, if you're actually open to things changing eventually, then maybe they do. Especially if you work on yourself and work on being whole and complete within yourself. Because at the end of the day, we all die alone, no matter what we do to try to make sure we die with somebody else. Which is strange. But I don't want to get all morbid and everything now. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to my introduction. Alright, so, as promised, my introduction, so you can get kind of a better feel for who I am and why these kinds of things matter to me. Even though in general, people should care because they're decent human beings. It shouldn't take having to live through this horror to say, yeah, that's pretty fucked up, let's kind of stop doing that to each other and shit. Maybe, we'll see. So, the short answer for who I am. I am a black, impossible, alien, other gender dragon. What tattoos trees with the queerest, most sinister ink. And I hurt. All over. All the time. Oh, wait. Was that not enough info? Alright, anyway. I appreciate full disclosure. Being autistic, I have to put everything out in the open and everything must be completely clear and understandable. So I'm letting it all out in the open, as I have before. I am black. Specifically with Irish and Cherokee sprinkled in there somewhere just to fuck things up further. I am autistic. I am aromantic. I am noetosexual. And no, you're not hearing things. Yes, that is a term that I created. So you may not be familiar with it yet, but it's worth looking up when you get a moment. I am asexual. I'm an organic multilinker. I am radically integrated non-monogamist. And radical non-monogamy was actually coined by a brilliant, poor, black queer, cis man. Who I just admire so much, and his name is Milton Gooseby. And, you know, when I was speaking on, you know, marginalized poly-A people, I highly recommend him if you are looking for, you know, to get into more into the liminal side of existence and to understand points of view that aren't the ones that are shoved down our throats every single day. And I really fully understand the impact of, you know, more typical or quote-unquote normalized, you know, thinking, especially around relationships and who's worthy of love. Anyway, I'm also an autodidact. I am relationship fluid, which is a term created by Louisa Leontiades, who's also pretty amazing. Was one of the first polyamorists that I found who was actually writing about what it was like to be a parent and not monogamous. Like, go figure. Oh my goodness, that's sad. Anyway, I am disabled with multiple forms of chronic pain. Like, you'll hear about it in the next section. I'm pretty much a single parent. It's a little more complicated than that, but basically a single parent. I am impoverished. I am kinky. I'm a switch who leans more towards the Dami side. I was assigned female at birth. I am synesthetic. I have several forms of synesthesia. I am intersex. I am other gender. Oh, wait, yes, you already know I'm other gender, but I'm saying it again. I'm an army brat. I am a survivor of several forms of heinous abuse. I'm also left-handed. I consider myself singlish. And I am pan-erotic. And when it comes to spirituality or religion or anything, I consider myself a metanoic aletheologist. And, yeah, I know there's going to be a fuck lot of terms here that are like, okay, what in the fucking hell? I need a new dictionary to fucking even understand what the hell this person is saying. And that's okay, that's fine, because I think I've probably invented and created enough language now that it does need its own dictionary. But anyway, you can look up a lot of these, either on Facebook or Google, and it should pop up. Or if you're in the Metanoic portal, I provide explanations for everything. And also, just every once in a while, I'm going to do a podcast about some term or other and go deeper into it, so you get a better idea of what I am talking about. And if you're feeling a little uncomfortable and, feeling like you're in unfamiliar territory, welcome to life as every single marginalized person. But we have to navigate every fucking day like that. From the moment we're born, we have to basically hide ourselves or make ourselves acceptable in a world that caters to people who are so totally not us. So a learning curve is expected, especially if you're going to be actually better at encompassing people and being more inclusive. You'll notice a lot of us say, yeah, it's not my fucking job to teach you. It's really not, because, well, first, normal people really don't pay that well. They tend to send money to people who have no lived experience on the margins, or lived experience with anything, really, except getting everything handed to them. And it's just, I don't know. Our work is devalued, and we are devalued. What else can I say? But it's kind of time, it's more than past time, that you push yourself a little and learn to be uncomfortable. Because you know what? Until the tips of your hair to the nails on your feet are all in the most incredible pain that you have ever been in, or that you can imagine, all the time with no relief, and any medication that you get only takes the edge off enough for you to not be like just screaming constantly. We'll talk. Anyway, so speaking of my experiences, my disabilities and health conditions consist of, but are not limited to, endometriosis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, costochondritis, CPTSD, dysautonomias, fibromyalgia, EDS, plantar fasciitis, eczema, secondary anxiety, and depression. I have lived in severe poverty for my entire life, including a very recent bout of extended homelessness. I have had I've had several major surgeries. I've survived more rapes than I can even count, and I've narrowly escaped stalkers, domestic violence, and murderers. I have been writing cool fiction, my invented intersectional, queer, and poly-A genre, for nearly 2 decades. Well, for over 2 decades now. I have raised my children with my sister. We've raised our children together on and off. I am also a not-quite widow, in that within months of one another, I lost both a former female partner and what was a then-current male partner, both who were disabled Black queer people. What do I know? That's what you really want to know. What are my fucking credentials, right? What did I do for Wackademia? Well, I had attended many different schools, majoring in areas as diverse as drama, instrumental music, choir, dance, aviation maintenance, teaching and technology, brain and mind studies, which was a major that actually included an in-depth and integrated approach to the different disciplines dealing with, you know, well, the mind. Anything having to do with it, anything even loosely having to do with the mind or the brain, I fucking learned it, you know. And you'll see that term come up a lot, integrated, because that fucking matters. That fucking matters. Can exist as somebody like me and not be integrated. So if you're not, it's pretty fucking ugly. Anyway, so I also did women, gender, and sexuality studies, and objectivism, which some of you might recognize is Ayn Rand's philosophy, and be like, okay, what the fuck were you doing there? Well, stick around and you might find out, I guess. Anyway. That's only my education on paper that's, you know, documented. Since the age of 12, or probably even earlier, I've always been a voracious, self-taught student of history, sexuality, religions, cosmology, philosophy, math, technology, and anything else that happened to catch my fancy. I currently spend the majority of my time engaging in fleshing out the many corners of the Q-verse. You know, that fictional intersectional world of my queer, poly-A, disabled Black characters. I wrote on Medium for a long while. I spend time elsewhere online educating folks, usually for free. And I provide content for groups such as Integrated Non-Monogamy, go figure, and many others of intersectional focus, mostly all within now housed within the Metanoid portal. I was a contributor to Postmodern Woman, and then became the sole editor after Louisa turned it over to me. And you'll notice I did bring it over, move it over to Medium, and transform the site into, my services corridor there. So basically anything you need, I can do it. Anyway, moving on though. I wrote for Crossing Genres and for Polyamory on Purpose for a bit. I also did some time as a transcriptionist and social media associate, as well as just mistress of all trades for everyday feminism. But please don't fucking talk to me about everyday feminism. I will get to that eventually, but feminism for whom? Let's just say that. Anyway, I was very honored to serve for a time as a digital content outreach coordinator for The Body is Not an Apology. And I also was a board member of Hypatia Software for a few years. And right now, I am a well-rounded public speaker at the revamped Postmodern Woman. Ha, see, it came back. I explained it. Okay. Offering a number of courses on varying topics that I have both personal and educational experience with, not just one or the other. Additionally, I am currently the sensitivity editor and one of the founders at Kuehl Press, which publishes You guessed it, all those stories that you never get to hear, but that you've been yearning for. All those stories about anybody except buff white guys, basically. Anyway, so yeah, that's a bit about who I am. And you can kind of sense from a lot of that, that this is why I do what I do. I really can't help it. I don't really have a choice in the matter. If I had to choose, I would just spend my time writing all the time, writing my books and everything, writing my fiction books specifically. But no, you guys made me have to turn to nonfiction because, you know, there's a lot of, there's so much education around all of these things that's so missing. And so if we are going to effectively communicate on these, you know, these new ideas or anything like that, we have to have a common language. You need a new education. You need the education they didn't fucking give you in school. We're going to talk about things like actual building cultures of consent and talking about nourishment and talking about, you know, really forming quote-unquote villages. And please don't call them tribes unless you're black or indigenous. It's just, well, we'll get to why. If you don't know yet, we'll definitely get to why that's an extremely poor taste. The language you use, it fucking matters. It really fucking matters. And unless you've been down in the dirt, you don't really get a say over, you know, over how your language affects people or anything. So you'll notice I use some terms that oftentimes would even still be considered slurs and everything, but that's because I can reclaim them, because I am the person that all this language impacts and is directly aimed towards. But you know, more on that later. I could go on about that forever. I could go on about anything forever. But as you know, as I've said before, please, if you have any questions or want to hear about anything in particular, let me know. I really want to know. I want this to be a conversation and not me just talking into the void, because that's fucking, I know what the hell I think. I know what, you know, I know what I know. I want to know what I don't know. And, you know, I want to build actual community, you know, actual genuine nourishing community around this. So, you know, let's work on that. As long as you're respectful and, you know, and purely curious, I don't fucking care what you ask me. You can pretty much ask me anything, and I will likely answer it unless it's endangering someone, you know? Weirdly enough, laid back with that sort of thing. Somebody has to be. Anyway, so thank you for joining me again. And, you know, if you like what you hear and want to hear more of it, send me a feather. I am a dragon now on Ko-fi. So that's ko-fi.com/Tesla. I know, I said I was a dragon, so where the fuck is this Tesla coming into it? Well, you know, the other thing about being other is that I pretty much get to be an entire mix of fucking things that you've never heard that all fit together, but there aren't enough terms to describe it. So I have to use several different terms instead of one all-encompassing term to just fucking describe myself. I don't know, I just say I'm human. I'm human, I'm fucking human, but I'm also really not. I'm really not. But, yeah. I have many names, I have many aspects. And I have to give names to these things, and that's what I've done. So, you'll get to learn more about why I use terms like muckstress, or gentleman goddess, or dragon, or Tesla, and all of that, later on. I mean, the thing is there's since there is kind of so much to me that's unfamiliar, it's to get to know me, you really have to be around me or with me or stick with me for years, because there's just that much. And it's kind of lonely, actually. It's kind of very lonely when most people are just one simple thing or another. It's not that I'm not simple, it's just that I'm simple on a different level, right? I don't know. We'll see. I'm starting to babble a little. So I'm going to go ahead and get back to some other work because I never stop working. So, drop me a feather, drop me a line, and share if you like it. I wonder what next time's topic should be. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I'll pick at random. You know what? Maybe I will actually explain to you finally what the fuck integrated non-monogamy is, right? I haven't said it. Oh my goodness, right? Yeah. Like, seriously. That's what you're here to hear, right? That's what you've been fucking waiting for. What the hell? Yeah. Oh my goodness. But, hey, you need some background because it'll make it make more sense because, trust me, half of the language in this article is going to be either in a way you've never seen it before or just some new shit that I had to make up and create so that these concepts and terms could be understood. So it's a process. It's a fucking process. And we will learn more about what the fuck this actually is and why I even changed it from intersectional non-monogamy. Because isn't intersectional, like, you know, the thing now? I don't know. All right. Anyway, I hope that wherever you are, that you find rest that is restorative and that you find nourishment in your connections. So that's what I'm hoping for you. That might be my typical sign-off, but that does not mean that I will ever stop actually meaning it. After all, if you are autistic or know any, folks yourself, you will know that we mean it every fucking time. Every fucking time. Starting from scratch. Yeah, I'll get more on that later. Alright. Seriously, though. Have a great one. Have a great one.
So, if you like what you're hearing and want to directly support me, there are now subscription options, monthly subscription options. So, sign up, and if you do, you might just find yourself with access to the Metanoic portal for free. Hey, that sounds pretty sweet to me. So go ahead, try it out.